now in trouble. Tries to step out of a sack and can't do it. And there's the first sack of the year for Elvis Dumervil. Pressure on Tim. He sets his feet and throws. Pass is going to be caught. Dicker into the end zone. Broncos touchdown. Pressure again. Three-step drop. Fade route right side. Champ's going to be there. Champ's got the football. Champ Bailey with an interception at the Denver 15-yard line. Here's the zone read to get to McGahee. Big hole. McGahee midfield. 45-40. Foot race. Here we go. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. McGahee inside the 5. Touchdown, Denver. 60 yards. Steps us out of a block. 15, 20. Eddie Royal over the 30. 35, 40. Here we go. Eddie Royal midfield. 45, 40. Royal gets a block. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. To the house. Eddie Royal, an 86-yard touchdown return of a punt. And with 5:53 to go, Denver 30, Oakland 24.
Highlights courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. That final score again, 38-24. The Broncos win Sunday in Oakland. And John, the next 30 minutes, we're answering questions from fans. We do this show every week. A little bit more fun to do it after a win. And a lot of players said in the locker room Sunday after this game, they were telling us that with the way this game played out, especially in the second half, this almost defined a classic team win, one of those good division road games that you can see momentum and hopefully build on.
No question. I think that, you know, if you look at all the wins that we've had, the three wins that we've had, especially the last two, you look at the plays that have been made in the football game and really staying together, playing with passion, and making the key plays. Champ has two picks. Chris Harris gets a pick. Run the ball for 300 yards and really make the plays. And that is, we've talked about all year, is the big difference in winning and losing football games. And I think that that's what we did this past Sunday. And obviously, you know, I think that the real encouraging thing is to see how hard everybody's playing with passion and really, you know, showed that, you know, you play 60 minutes, you got a chance to win any game, and we really kind of manhandled them the second half and really took over the football game.
You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com, and like we do every week, we'll answer your questions from Twitter. Just be sure to include the hashtag Elway Live. And before we get into a couple of those questions, John, we talked a lot about, you know, kind of every week we talk about those plays that you hope go your way, those plays that kind of define a game. And I think, you know, with the way Eddie Royal was able to bring that kick back, with Chris Harris picking off Carson Palmer, and the next play you see Willis McGahee go 60 yards. And I think had he jumped into the stands, that would have been the first time he got touched. And let's spend a moment.
We would have never got him back either. That's if he had right. jumped yeah, in the fence. So that's a good thing he didn't jump
it,
in the fence.
It is a good thing. Who knows? We all know what it's like down there. Let's not be too quick and get too far into the show without talking about the offensive line and how they were able to help this offense move the ball.
You know, and I think anytime you're successful on the offensive side, it's all tied to the offensive line. I mean, those guys are really the unsung heroes, and they're the guys most games are won in the trenches. And I think that the offensive line this week took an extra meaning into this, especially with the way that we played against the Raiders the first week, and it wasn't our best performance in the offensive line. And so I think they really took it to heart and set their minds to the fact that they were going to go out and win the line of scrimmage this week, and they really did. They did a tremendous job on a very good defensive line, Richard Seymour, and they did a tremendous job. And so it opened those holes, and then, you know, Tim and Willis kind of took it from there and got the yardage in the secondary, and Willis looked like he was 24 again when he broke into the secondary and really pulled away from the defensive backs. And so he had those fresh legs, but it was great to have him back also.
I think when asked after the game if he was 30, I think he said, no, I'm 21. So you're right, 21, 24, pretty much the same thing. Let's get to some of your questions. Thanks for sending them in. This first one comes from Brian Fish again. About the O-line, really improved in the running game recently. What specifically, John, has been the difference? Is it the fact that we're, you know, maybe eight games into the season together, they've had a little bit more time to get those reps together? Was it the offense? What was it specifically?
You know, I think, number one, it is experience together. Obviously, been in the same spot now for 8 weeks. Orlando Franklin being a rookie and starting to right tackle the first eight games and starting to get the flow of things, understand what the running game's all about, plus them all working together. And plus, you know, if you really look at it, Tim's been starting, this being his third week, the running game has been a little bit different. different. So it's always difficult to change run plays, because the bottom line is you can change them, but to get them executed is another thing. And I think that with, you know, this being the third game, even though the running game looked tremendously different, the key thing was to we executed a lot better. There weren't a lot of different things in there, but we just executed a lot better. And I think that comes from the offensive line getting more comfortable with it, having more reps in practice, and then seeing different looks within in the game and being able to adjust then. So they're getting more used to these type of run plays that we have in.
How much juice can the offense get from the line when the ball's going on the ground the way it does? In the huddle, can you feel it? How does that kind of open up things for the rest of the offense?
Well, I mean, I think that obviously, as we've talked about, they're the key to the success on the offensive side. And I think anytime you can get the run game going, it takes a lot of pressure off your passing game. And if you ask any offensive lineman, they'd all say they'd rather run block than pass block, because they can get exposed pass block. And if somebody gets someone misses a block and there's a sack, usually they're pointing the finger at somebody within the offensive line. Where if you look at the running game, usually you don't very rarely really see an offensive lineman picked out of saying he missed his block, because, and that's why the running play didn't work. But also, if you can get the running game going, then the defensive line are more concerned about the running game than they are the passing game. So therefore, look and run first, and then pass rush after that. So it slows that pass rush down, which offensive linemen like, as well as quarterbacks like too.
Let's get to one more of your questions before we get to the first break. John, this comes from Bert Brands, and Bert's wondering if your wife makes you maybe go downstairs and maybe sleep on the couch after the Broncos beat the Raiders.
No, actually, that's the only time I rule the house is when the Broncos beat the Raiders. The other 363 days, I'm the slave in there. But it's a good it's a good rivalry. But she's definitely she's a turncoat. She's definitely now a Bronco fan.
Good thing. A couple good questions in the first segment. Thanks for sending them in. We'll get right back to them after this 60-second break.
No, it's going to be a keep to Tebow and a lot of room to run. Tebow's in Raider territory, 45-40. Tebow, 35-30, knocked off his feet and into the Raider sideline. He gets up clapping his hands. That is a huge run and a great job selling the fake. Tebow with a fake, sets in the pocket, sets, throws, wide open. Eddie Royal inside the 10, inside the 5, touchdown Denver. Wide open in between the hash marks. Tebow with a slight roll to his left, then he pulled up. And when he let that thing go, I mean, nobody around Eddie Royal. A touchdown pass of 26 yards. Zone read. McGee gets it, breaks 20, 15, McGee 10, 5, touchdown Denver. I'll tell you, the zone read has absolutely killed the Raiders. 24 yards by McGee on the touchdown scamper. I don't think a Raider touched him.
Highlights again, courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. You heard both of Tim Tebow's touchdown passes to Eric Decker and Eddie Royal. John, Tim finished the game with 118 yards running on the ground, threw for those two scores, almost a 100 passer rating. Our next question comes from John Teeter. John's wondering what you thought of Tim's performance.
We won. I mean, that's the bottom line. Anytime you look at a quarterback, you want to know how your team did. And obviously, we won the football game, which is the most important thing. I think if, you know, you looked at the game overall, the threat that Timmy gave us in the running game was huge. I think we had 298 yards rushing, and a lot of it was coming off the same play, which was that option read. And so, you know, that threat really threw the Raiders off. And so it was very effective for us in the running game. And even when they did put 8 and 9 in the box, we were still successful running the football with that play in. So running the football, Tim had a good day. Obviously, you know, he made some really good throws. You know, he had the 2 touchdown passes, and really the one to Eddie Decker, or to Eric Decker, was really a good throw. And he made that good throw coming off one that he'd missed to Julius Thomas the play before, and really came back the next play and really put it right on the money to Eric under some pressure, and they'd blitz. And so that was really a very good throw. And then the very good throw to Eddie. And Eddie did a good job uncovering and coming back to him on that bootleg play, the play action boot out to the left. And so, you know, he made some really good throws. Obviously, there's a couple he'd like to have back, but I think that overall you saw him manage the game a lot better. We still had a couple delay of games that we got to get corrected, but I think Tim's getting more comfortable in there. And I think overall, we made a step forward, especially in managing the football game.
Touchdown, the Broncos won the football game. You want to look at that first and foremost. Give fans perspective, if you could, on what the staff asked Tim to do and this offense to do, considering the plays and the offense they were running on Sunday.
Well, you know, obviously you always want to, you know, be successful. And I think that, you know, if you look at it early, we've really struggled in the second quarter. We've struggled in the second quarter the whole year. We've come out of the chute pretty well. But then we've seemed to kind of hit a roadblock in the second quarter. So we continue to work on the urgency in the second quarter. And, again, we didn't have a great second quarter against the Raiders. But we had a great second half, which made up for it. And I think that if we can continue to do that, did some good things at halftime with adjustments, but really came out and played hard and made those big plays in the second half. And so, we want to consider, the bottom line is we want to be able to be a balanced attack on the offensive side. We want to be able to run the football. And if they're up there trying to take the runaway, you want to be able to throw it and make the big plays like we're able to do a couple times with Eddie and Eric. And so that's how you can score with some big plays if they commit those 8 and 9 guys to the running game. So again, it's we got to get more consistent in the passing game. You know, we're 3-12 on third down, which is always a key thing. You know, you got to be able to pick up those third downs because of it keeps you on the field and it keeps your defense off the field and keeps them rested. And so we'll continue to work on that.
David Wright's wondering if perhaps fans will see more of this and more of Tebow playing in the shotgun moving forward. What do you kind of predict maybe going forward, considering how this did work on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I think that we got to be able to do both. We can't go strictly in the shotgun 100% of the time, even though we've increased the amount of shotgun snaps since Tim's been the starter, I think 10 to 15%. And so, the offensive staff has done a good job of trying to adjust the offense and take advantage of what Tim does best, but also keep it within the realms of what we do offensively and also what everybody, the other 10 guys on the offense, are used to doing, which is also important. So it comes down to that execution. But I think that we've got to have a mix of both, but we'll continue to use Tim in the shotgun also.
How much is kind of his being in the huddle and being with this group and playing the position at quarterback? We talked a lot about experience and reps and how each week that builds, your confidence builds. What can a game like this do for Tim playing the position and for the whole offense?
Well, I think, number one, it gains the offense gains and the team gains confidence in the fact that we can go on the road and win football games against a good football team and the Raiders, and not an easy place to play. But I think that, any time with Tim, this being his third start, there is an adjustment to a new quarterback. I mean, how he calls the plays in the huddle, what his snap count is like, and getting used to, Tim's mannerism and how he likes to run his huddle. Secondly, it's really getting those guys comfortable with how Tim moves around, because Tim moves around a lot more than obviously Kyle did within the pocket, to know that they got to do the best they can and hang on to those blocks as long as they can, not knowing that, whether it's going to get out of there quick or if Tim's going to move around and make a play with his legs. And then the receivers have to get used to being able to adjust downfield, that when he is scrambling, to be able to find some holes and seams in the defense so that Tim may be able to get him the ball.
Coach Fox was asked on Monday a couple of times about when Tim did run, he was making some of those decisions where you saw he would slide, he was going out of bounds. You can almost see that kind of maturation as he was using his legs, as you talked about. Staff's got to like seeing that too.
Yeah, well, and there's no question. And Tim's obviously a football player, and he's a physical guy, and he likes that contact. But for him to stay healthy and where we want him to be and to be able to take the beating but also be able to stay healthy and you know, it's going to affect you when you get hit that many times. It's going to affect you throwing the football. And so I think that with Tim, he, you know, as you said, we showed some maturity there in that area, got down, got feet first. But also you look at Tim, and the great thing about why you're playing is the amount of experience that you get with every snap while you're in there in the fire. And that's experience that cannot be replicated anywhere else. And so, you know, it's up to Tim to really take those snaps and understand what goes on within each snap and really learn from each snap.
And that fire in Oakland was pretty hot, especially in the second half when the Broncos were scoring 24 unanswered points. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. We'll be back after a short break.
Bush on the right side. Bush hit hard and dumped by DJ Williams. Best hit of the game thus far. Spot him at the 36-yard line. That was one you check your bowlers on. Palmer sets, throws, pass too high, deflected, intercepted. Chris Harris. Chris Harris has got the ball and some room to run. He's all the way to the Denver 40-yard line. Denver with a huge interception. Palmer now in trouble, and Elvis Dumervil's got his second sack of the game, second of the season. Back at the Raider 10-yard line. Welcome to the party, Elvis. Palmer in the shotgun, hit as he throws. The pass is going to be intercepted again, and that is Champ Bailey's second interception of the game. Von Miller caused that as he hit Carson Palmer just as he stepped to throw the ball. Bailey's second interception of the game, his second of the season, his 32nd now with the Broncos, and his 50th career interception has wrapped this thing up with 64 seconds to go.
Again, those highlights courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. Dave Logan on the call. John, let's get right back to questions from fans wondering, you heard some of those plays right then. Elvis Dumervil, Von Miller, DJ Williams, Champ Bailey, just a handful of guys on that side of the ball making some plays on Sunday. Edward Smith's wondering if you could give fans a little info, a little insight into Dennis Allen and how he gets this defense ready to go. You've seen 8 games now, generated some turnovers Sunday in Oakland and showing some of that pressure that he talked about in the offseason before the season started.
Well, I mean, Dennis is a very good young coach, and he's a guy that has the mentality of an attacking style type defense and likes to get after the quarterback. And I think that, you know, one thing as we've talked about is, you know, I think the guys on the defense are just now starting to get used to the system, understand the system, what's in it. And that also allows the coaches to do a little bit more on the defensive side, mix things up a little bit now that the players and the guys are understanding the concepts of the defense. Not having this off season and just getting it introduced in training camp obviously set us back. And so I think we're starting to see some of the positive things that can happen once everybody starts getting comfortable with the defense. And the bottom line within that, guys are playing better. Champ had a very good day. I think Elvis is starting to come back. Anytime you miss a full season like you missed last year, then he tore the pec or partially tore it coming into the season, played the first game, but not much, and then missed the next game or two. And then coming back, then he tweaked his ankle a couple weeks ago. And I think that he's starting to get back in the flow of things. And so we saw a little bit of the expectations that we have Elvis against the Raiders and really got a sack and a half, but also several other pressures, which is going to be important for us. But I think that as we go forward and these guys and the players continue to get more comfortable with the defense, you'll see Dennis's personality come out in that defense. And because he likes to attack, he likes to get after the quarterback and try to make those big plays on the defense.
We could tell last week, and when asked about it, Elvis said, yeah, you know, he's kind of frustrated. He's trying to get there, thinks he's close. And then you kind of compare that to the way he was in the locker room after game. He was really happy, first and foremost, the team was able to get the win, but that also that he was able to make some plays and contribute. Let's go back to what you were just talking about with the players and Coach Allen. It takes some talent. It takes players on the roster out there doing it. It was funny, post-game in the locker room, Vaughn was saying, well, his plays came because of Champ. And Champ was saying, well, my interceptions came because of the pressure on the quarterback. You know, it's you get to hear this back and forth, and these guys are kind of really complimenting each other. That's a good sign.
And it is, and that just goes to show you what kind of players there are and what kind of people, because the bottom line is football is won as a team, as 46 guys that suit up and 53 guys and 61 guys that practice with the 8 practice squad guys that practice during the week. And so I think that any time you see a locker room that is really giving credit to each other is a very good start when trying to put a team together that is patting each other on the back instead of patting themselves on the back. And so I think that when you hear those guys talk like that, it's good to hear, and I think that we've got a good thing going. The culture is good. John's done a great job with the culture and his philosophy and his motivation to be able to get these guys to play with passion, and I think that we saw that Sunday.
Darren McFadden couldn't go, but Michael Bush certainly could. He's still a big back, and he still went out there for about 5 yards a carry. But Scott Mooney is asking that run D in the second half. What'd you think? That's kind of when an offensive line's been leaning on the D-line for a while. That second half, it can really go either way. It can really help dictate the outcome of the game. But overall, Broncos gave up 7 points in the second half. You like seeing that?
Really did a good job. Obviously, you know, with them missing McFadden, who's one of the top backs, was a good break for us. But as you said, Bush is also a very good running back. But I think that, again, going back to the first game, a little bit embarrassed. I think we gave up 190 yards rushing the first week. And so the defense set it in their minds that, you know, that they weren't going to let him run the football again this time. And plus, the things that happened, especially in the second half, the things that happened, the plays we're able to make, and then offensively to be able to put them in a pass situation where now we can turn a Von Miller loose, you can turn an Elvis Neumerville and a Robert Ayers and those pass rushers loose to be able to get after the quarterback. All that does is really help you, and we were able to do that, get that pass rush, and also turn that pass rush into some turnovers.
With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. There's still some time to get your questions in. Just include that hashtag Elway Live on Twitter. After a short break, we're going to talk about all of a sudden a very congested AFC West in this week's game against the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll be right back.
We've kind of fought our way back into it. You know, we're not exactly where we want to be. You know, we're halfway through the season at this point, and we still have a whole half left. So, much like a game, you know, it's important how you finish. And so we'll do that one game at a time. We've got a very big key game in Kansas City this week.
I try not to think about it and take it one game at a time. I know you always hear that, but that's how you got to do it. I mean, you can't look past anybody. Kansas City's a good football team, and they've been playing great lately. And I know Miami beat them, but they're a better football team than what they showed, and we're going to be ready for their best shot.
But we just got to take it one day at a time, one game at a time. And I know it sounds cliche, but, you know, that's how you have to approach it. And especially when things aren't their best, you know, it's got to be one day at a time. You focus on the little things, make little goals, and constantly get better every day.
Heard from head coach John Fox, Eddie Royal, and Tim Tebow talking about how, yes, it's a congested division all of a sudden, but all they're thinking about right now is this Sunday's game, again, on the road against another divisional opponent. Next question comes from Daniel Zoss making the program. John, he's wondering your biggest concern about the Broncos matchup with the Chiefs this Sunday.
Well, obviously, I think the biggest concern is going into Kansas City. It's a very tough place to play. The Chiefs are coming off a tough loss, big loss to the Dolphins, and obviously they're going to be ready to play. They beat the Chargers there 2 weeks ago and were caught flat-footed last week. And they've really been a kind of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde team. They've had some very tough loss, you know, some big beats, but they've also had some really good wins. And so we have to be prepared for their best and be able to Kansas City, having played there for many years, is a very difficult place to play. Tamba Ali is, as far as an outside linebacker, could be the top outside linebacker in the NFL, and so we're going to have to account for him. But really go in there, continue the execution offensively, and then defensively try to get some turnovers and shut Castle down.
You talked about the team's ups and downs, and maybe just assuming you're going to get their best is the answer. But Edward Smith wondering, how tough is it to gauge a team like the Chiefs right now who have kind of been up and down as you're trying to game plan, as you're trying to get ready? And then again, as you touched on, knowing you're going into their building.
Well, I mean, I think that's why you have to look at the fact that, especially with the rivalry that between the Broncos and the Chiefs has been for so long, that they're going to be ready to go. And so we got to prepare to get their best game. And so to me, you know, that's really going in there, taking care of our business, taking care of the football, continue to execute in the running game on the offensive side, continue and get better, as we've talked about so many times, on third downs, and convert some of those third downs to keep the defense off the field as long as we can. And put some points on the board. But anytime you go into Kansas City, you always know it's going to be a dogfight, and it's going to take us 60 minutes to come out of there with a win. So as long as we concentrate on that, take it one play at a time, then, you know, we can get out of there with a win.
I know fans might think, you know, the team goes on the road and they've only got 4 days to get ready for their next game against the Jets. Do players have to prohibit that from sinking in? Is that what the coaches are supposed to do, or this just players know they're not even looking past? They may not even know who they play next week.
No, I mean, obviously they know we play on Thursday, but they're not looking past the Chiefs. Obviously they know we've got a dogfight and a tough football game within our division. Having now worked our way back into it to where we're only a game out, to where things have worked out, they know how important these division games are. So they're not looking past Sunday. Obviously, if we can get out of there with a win, they'll start looking to the following Thursday, which is a quick turnaround. But the Jets have to do it too. So it's whoever handles it the best. And the good thing is we're here at Mile High. So, but we'll deal with that when we get there. We got to take care of the Chiefs first.
Last question is a good one. Comes from Adam Dunn. John, he's wondering if you can kind of go back in your memory banks and maybe talk about your most vivid or most exciting memory from playing at Arrowhead. Any stick out?
You know, we played there so many times, and as I said, every time we went in there, it was a battle. Neil Smith was one end. You had Derek Thomas coming off the other end. And I remember we used to play on the old AstroTurf, which was like playing on a track surface and hard and fast.
Concrete,
and it played right into Derek Thomas's hands because he was so fast. It was the crowd noise. And so I just knew that anytime we went in there, I was going to play with one of those guys in my lap generally the whole day. And so now that it's changed, with the turf's a little bit different now, it's a little softer, not nearly as fast as it was, but you know it's a dogfight. But the one thing that sticks out of my mind was in 97 when we went in there.
They were the number one seed in the playoffs, and so we went in there. I think we beat them 14-10. And Elvis Gerb, they were on the last drive down at the end of the game, and we were able to get out of there with a win 14-10, which ended up taking us to the Super Bowl. We went to the AFC Championship the following week to Pittsburgh, beat them to get to the Super Bowl 32 and beat the Packers. But many, many games there, but that one that we beat them with them being the number one seed is probably the highlight.
Well, there you go, Adam. That's a great question. That turf may be a little bit softer, but I know those fans won't be. They wear their red. They get really loud. They know when to get loud. It's a pretty smart football base. Thanks again for sending in your questions. This has been Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. If you ever miss any of the podcasts, just go to DenverBroncos.com/Elway Live. Could have a different time next week with the abbreviated practice schedule. We'll keep you updated. Thanks for your questions. Thanks for listening. Give another show next week.